Jonas Brasco, and this is the Fighting Game Banter Podcast. Here, we talk about fighting games, what's going on in the fighting game community, and if there's any topics that maybe not necessarily about fighting games, but are fighting game adjacent. So this recording is focusing on, of all things, a game that hasn't been talked about, or a series, a franchise that has not been talked about in quite a while. We are talking about Battle Arena Toshinden, or specifically the Toshinden franchise. Why this I'm mentioning this is because we've gotten news recently that there will be a new Virtual Fighter game. So now we're thinking possibly we're getting a Virtual Fighter 6, or possibly some sort of reboot. Now, Battle Arena Toshinden was touted to be the Virtual Fighter killer. That didn't seem to happen, but it's still an interesting story to say the least. The original Toshinden was promoted by Sony and Sony Hard. They're the ones who actually published both the first and second versions. While Takara published the rest. And I also meant to mention that we are not going to go into any of the spinoffs. We will mention Toshinden 2 Plus, because that is pretty much a term and standard, but we're not going to really get into Remix or the puzzle game Nito Shiden, which is pretty much Virtual Fighter Kids, or the card game. And instead, we're going to try to stick with the main story continuation of the Toshinden series, which is 1 through 4 without any of the spinoffs. The Game Boy version is kind of important, one, because it is considered the best as far as the Toshinden series, and it actually does feature a character that does go into the actual continuation of the Toshinden series, and that is Uranus, who would become the boss of the second Toshinden game. We're going to go ahead and mention that Toshinden was, first and foremost, a game that was launched exclusively for the Sony PlayStation. There was no arcade release whatsoever, and in the beginning, it wasn't on other consoles. So Sony was making a gambit with trying to have their own exclusive console fighter. The only problem with this is because it never was in the arcade, there was no real QA. There wasn't necessarily playtests or beta tests. It kind of suffered from that. The game for its time looked good. It was a little bit slow, and it was nice the fact that this was a sword and weapon-based game that had projectiles, along with sidestepping, which was pretty novel at that time. Granted, there would be a Saturn version that would come out, and while the Saturn version played okay, the colors and graphics couldn't compare to the PlayStation. Now, one thing that we have to mention with the Saturn is the Saturn was pretty much a 2D system with 3D elements. So, with the PlayStation being focused on 3D, but have a hard time with 2D aspects, is kind of an issue. We're first going to mention the PC version, because that is a very interesting version in itself. For starters, it actually had network capabilities, so you could actually play with other people who had the game online, which is actually a pretty impressive feat for that time. Another thing is they actually had an interesting hidden character. Of all people that you would expect to be in a game, it was Earthworm Jim. Now, granted, he didn't have his usual gun. Instead, he used a club because he had Rungo Iron's moveset. So that was a little bit of a disappointment, but it is a nice little Easter egg if you are able to find a version. The main character, Eiji Shinjo, would actually appear as a guest character in another Sega Saturn fighting game known as The Third, which was exclusive to Japan. Now, the weird story about Toshinden is there would be an arcade release of Toshinden 2. The arcade release was actually by Capcom. And yes, it's still Tamsoft's game. It's still, yeah, I should have mentioned that. This is a Tamsoft title. Toshinden 2 was definitely a better game. And in fact, Toshinden 2 Plus, which was an updated version of Toshinden 2, is considered for the most part the tournament standard for people who do play Ballerina Toshinden tournaments. And yes, they do exist. In fact, the last one that I was able to find occurred in July 2023 in Finland. It was the Final Battle Arena Toshinden 2 Finnish Championship. So if you want to check that out, you're more than welcome to look online. It was around July 8th of 2023, but that will give you an idea of what Tournament Toshinden actually looks like. We're going to go ahead and talk about 2 because 2, for the most part, is a good game as far as improving on 1. The problem with 2 is not the game itself, but what came out around that time. And that was Tekken 2 and Soul Edge, or Soul Blade, depending on which version you play. What I will say about that is you could see the clear difference in both graphical quality and speed with Tekken 2 and Soul Edge. There was no comparison, and it just didn't get better from there. Now, Toshinden 3 would be the last Toshinden released in North America. There is a Toshinden 4, mind you, but it didn't get a North America release. It was a Japan and PAL regions. 3 is probably the most well-known, but not for the right reasons. For starters, with Toshinden 3, they moved the life bars from the top to the bottom of the screen, which for a lot of people, if you've been playing the previous Toshinden, it is very awkward. And only really the second fighting game that I've played that has done that outside of Fighting Lair. Nonetheless, the weird thing is a character named Ten Count, who looks very similar to Michael Jackson. That is probably the most well-known aspect of Toshinden 3, which I find that very, very weird. Toshinden 2 Plus seems to be more of the standard, or at least the peak of what is considered good Toshinden. Toshinden 4, again, never had a release in North America, actually made the characters kind of chibi. Not quite chibi, but they clearly weren't up to scale compared to the first three games. It kind of had a team-based setup, and it was set in the future, kind of Mark of the Wolf style. In this one, Eiji Shinjo is like the boss, and his son, Subaru, is your main protagonist here. And that pretty much covers it for the main Toshinden series. Now, before we go on to Toshinden Wii, I want to take a step back and talk about the anime. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because it is probably the best representation of Toshinden compared to the games. For starters, it was directed by Masami Obari. For those who aren't familiar, this is the same person who directed the Fatal Fury animes, as well as Voltage Fighter Gaukaiser. One thing that's really, really good about it is that it takes elements from the first two games and does a really, really good job at that. They include the music, the moves look great, and the animation is pretty great as well. The problem that sucks now and why you may not be able to get it, or it's kind of hard to get, is because it was Central Park Media who released it. Now there is, if you actually have the old VHSs, there is an actual edited version and then there's an uncut version. If you buy the DVD, you get the uncut version. Needless to say, this is your usual, you know, there's blood, there's a shower scene, that type of thing that was pretty common in fighting game anime at that time. Now, because Central Park Media's assets were liquidated in 2009, there is no way to buy this outside of being secondhand, or someone that just held it at an anime convention and is going to be overpriced. I do own a copy myself, and I paid probably about $40 for it. But hopefully, and yeah, I'm shouting out Discotech here. Hopefully someone can rescue this, because it has not been rescued. Along with Voltage Fighter Gaukaiser, which is another Central Park Media / US manga anime, is fighting game anime as well. So something to keep in mind for the future. And finally, oh man, I can't believe I got to talk about this. We'll go ahead and say stepchild of the series, Toshin Den Wii. Normally known as Toshin Den, but for the sake of argument, it's called Toshin Den Wii because it was exclusive to the Nintendo Wii. The fun thing about this game is it wasn't done by Tamsoft. This was actually done by Dream Factory and was released by Takara. And this is a Japanese exclusive game. Now, as far as the timeline is concerned, it is not related to the original Ballerina Toshin Den series. However, the main character is named Hoji Shinjo. So kind of a new entry, starting a new legend. And the other aspect, unlike the original Toshin Dens, there is actual characters that are unarmed. So that's a new and interesting concept. Even in Toshin Den 3, you had a dude that was fighting with a chainsaw, which I thought was kind of cool. Slow, but cool. How would you get Toshin Den now? Well, if you actually have a PlayStation Classic, the first game is included on there. After all, it is one of the first Sony PlayStation exclusives. The other thing about the PlayStation Classic is, why would you play that when you got Tekken 3? I know that sounds horrible, but it is what it is. Like, there is no comparison. And that's kind of how Toshin Den kind of lost its identity, is it just couldn't keep up with the better fighting games at that time. I mean, I'm not going to make it exclusively that Bandai Namco killed them, because that would be kind of disingenuous. But as more, you know, 3D polygonal games came out, it was very clear what people were looking for quality-wise. And sadly, Tamsoft and Toshin Den series didn't have it. Even though it's not even talked about, Mortal Kombat 4 ran better on the PlayStation compared to Toshin Den. But it's not all doom and gloom. I don't want to say that. On the resale market, the games actually sell pretty well. And if you can get some fun stuff like the Toshin Den Warzone game, if anyone actually remembers this, it's those fun Tiger Electronic games, but it tried to be like the Virtual Boy. You actually put a little precursor to Google Glass on your head, and it came out looking red. And you had a little controller in your hand, but it played exactly like the big old Tiger Electronic games. Just trying to give you a Virtual Boy type feel. Needless to say, that's kind of the end of the Toshin Den story. Now, we get to what happened afterwards, because after all, Tamsoft is still in business. The issue then becomes, why would you go back to a series that didn't work when you have ones that do? And Tamsoft is making money from one simple thing, the Senrei Kagura game, and the whole Onichanbara, you know, bikini zombie slayers. I mean, those games actually sold pretty decent and have a very good fan base. So yes, there's no reason necessarily to go back to Toshin Den from that aspect, because there's no guarantee it'll make any money. It doesn't have the following from the SGC to warrant any type of return. Needless to say, that's not saying that there is all doom and gloom for the Toshin Den series. Example, there could be a remaster that ups the frame rate, you know, fix some of the bugs, and make the game considered playable. That is actually an option that Tamsoft can do, and there would be probably some people that would be interested. The other thing is, these characters are actually looked on pretty fondly, so it would be a nice little nostalgia kick to actually put maybe AG or Sophia or even Duke as a guest character in a game like Samurai Showdown, maybe the next Soul Calibur, or even Grand Blue. After all, they put 2B in there, so I don't see why that couldn't happen. Heck, you could use them in KOF All-Star. I mean, they're letting everyone join the party, so why not put Toshin Den in there as well? And last but not least, Discotech would probably be the best case scenario. If they were able to rescue the OVA, that in itself would draw some interest and maybe have some people re-look at the game. You know, take a step back and acknowledge that while it may not be a great game or a great series, it is a significant part of fighting game history, especially with the early 3D polygonal graphics games. It was the first game to really try to challenge the Virtual Fighter series, but they did not count on the rise of Tekken and the Soul Blade, Soul Calibur series coming out and letting people know that we can make these games better, faster, and more interesting. I think if Toshinden was more accessible, then it would be another thing that people would maybe go back and consider giving a try. In any case, it's a very, very interesting story. Something that was created to establish an identity, but got lost over time. Paul Kidby was the artist for the PAL cover of Ballerina Toshinden. And for those who don't know who that is, this is Terry Pratchett, Discworld covers Paul Kidby. There was some real effort to get this franchise off the ground. So if you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, Google, I'll leave a link in the description of who this man is. You should go look at his work. But yeah, that was some definite quality there. Now, the man wasn't given any screenshots of the game, so we kind of had to come up with something based on the description. And that's actually what I put in the middle of my glove for this episode. If you can't figure out how his painting relates to Ballerina Toshinden, then that in itself shows the big example of why Toshinden, from beginning to the end, really did have an identity crisis. I want to thank everyone for listening. Thanks for everyone who has supported me so far. Once again, this is Jonah Trasprasco with the Fighting Game Banter Podcast. Until next time, take care. Thank you for listening to the Fighting Game Banter Podcast. Any inquiries for guests, questions can be reached at my email address, which is jonasbrasco@gmail.com. This podcast can be listened to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and even TuneIn. For anything else, feel free to email me and also check my social media, which is @jonasbrasco. On X/Twitter, call it what you will. Thanks again for listening and have a good day.